Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
What's up, y'all? This is your girl, Carla B, and you're tuned in to the E-Buzz.
Carla B, Hollywood bound.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to the E-Buzz Show right here on EOTMRadio.com. Our phone lines are open 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543. So please call in, pretty please. We'll be taking calls, y'all, the second half of the show. So make sure you chime in. And you can also follow me on Twitter. And I'm just always saying pretty please because it's the polite thing to do. So follow me on Twitter, pretty please. My Twitter ID is EOTMPR. Again, that's EOTMPR. And we're also on Skype. So I know we're putting you to work and stuff tonight, but you can follow us on Skype as well, EOTM Radio on Skype. So, y'all, it's going to be definitely an exciting show. I want to thank you for giving us a portion of your Friday evening. I know it's time, you know, it's your party time and stuff. Well, maybe it's just my party time, but party time, it's Friday. So, anyway, thank you. I definitely want to always thank you guys for giving us a portion of your evening. Really appreciate it. And also, if you are streaming live from EOTMRadio.com, I want you to do me another favor, pretty please. Subscribe to receive alerts to our future shows, and then also like our EOTMRadio.com page. Thank you, and that's all I'm going to have you do for now. But tonight, y'all, I'll be talking with a young man who says he received spiritual guidance from Bishop Eddie Long. Of course, most of you know Bishop Eddie Long, pastor of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Bishop Long once named one of the most homophobic black leaders by the Southern Poverty Law Center. He was accused of using his influence to coerce at least four men into sexual relationships. He took them on trips, showered them with gifts, and described them as his spiritual sons. The leader of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, he had previously been investigated by Congress for receiving millions of dollars in donations and refusing to disclose his finances. So, and then I must say, allegedly, in regards to the charges against Bishop Eddie Long. Of course, y'all, the firestorm with this whole travesty has subsided somewhat, but with the upcoming release of Jamal Paris's new book, which is called Signs of a Predator, it's almost guaranteed to shake some tail feathers, so to speak. In late 2010, Jamal Paris, he said that he had a father-son type relationship that turned sexual with Bishop Eddie Long. And in an interview on Fox 5 News in Atlanta, Paris was asked why he decided to come public in such a way, and he said it was to rid himself of the pain and to protect others. So with that, at this time, I definitely want to welcome Jamal Paris to EOTM Radio, first-time guest on the E-Buzz Show. Welcome to the show, Jamal.
Hey, well, thank you, guys. How you doing?
I'm great, great. Thank you. I know it's a little bit late. I think you're Eastern time, so it's 10. You sound really tired. But thank you again, Jamal, for giving us a... Say it again?
No, I said I'm awake. You got my attention.
Okie dokie. Again, thanks for joining me. I want you to, Jamal Paris, I want you to share with our listeners. I know I gave a little, you know, background in regards to you and a little bit, not really of you, but really of just Bishop Eddie Long. So if you can share with our listeners something many people do not know about you, doesn't even have to be about this whole thing, but about you, Jamal Paris.
I'm a parent now, and I'm actually still in school, continuing my bachelor's degree for education. And I think I'm going to take my culinary hobby and try to pursue a degree on that as well.
Okay.
Something people don't know about me is I love teaching. I'm a big geek. If you give me an essay to write in a couple of hours, you know, I'm happy. You give me a book, I'm happy.
Right.
I'm just a big geek, I guess.
Okay.
My little secret.
That's nice. I definitely didn't know that about you and your parents. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. So what do you have? A girl, a boy, twin?
I have a little boy. No, I have one little boy. His name is Josiah.
Okay. Okay. And how old is he?
He's 7 months old right now.
Oh my God! Congratulations. And you seem like you're the doting father. So, you know, congratulations to you on that. That's a big undertaking, right there. As far as parenting, but it seems like you're going down the right path, so that's a great thing. So my next question, Jamal, was going to be what's new in your life, but you just shared that, a new baby. You got a new baby, you're in school, and then also I know that you have a new book as well, which is one of the reasons why you're on the show tonight. The book is entitled Signs of a Predator, correct?
Yeah, Signs of a Predator.
Okay, so let's talk about the book a little bit. You know, what is this book about, Signs of a Predator?
Signs of a Predator is simply a book on awareness and education. It's a book from a survivor's point of view, you know, a help to the family in dealing with it, who have to encounter victims in their everyday lives and trying to rebuild a relationship with them that, and one might be viewed as shattered, and another one might be trying to find a way to accept or even deal with their own hurt from a situation. And also to look for the understanding and the mindset of a predator. I was always taught that with understanding comes wisdom, and a different approach may be needed in dealing with such an epidemic. We're hearing so much about all these older father figures, whether it be in sports or in schools or universities, or in different non-charitable organizations that are going through sexual abuse, and it seems like they target a specific thing. And I think that it's time that we understand how predators are made and realize that we are creating predators ourselves on a daily basis, that if we don't start looking at ourselves, we're just going to be hurt people, continuously hurting more people.
Mm, wow. So you said that we are somewhat of a predator ourselves.
Yeah, when we allow ourselves to treasure our pain, treasure the biggest things that hurt us, and try to make sure that we prevent other people from ever getting close because there's a secret that we can't get over. There's something that someone hurt us with from our past. And because we hold on to those things, we, in fact, push people away the only way that we know how, the only way that we've been rejected. And then we start to become a people that now we're hurting others to protect ourselves. And that's the very mindset of a predator. Fight for survival.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So in regards to the book, Signs of a Predator, now, you know, initially when I read the synopsis, you know, I'm like, okay, it's, you know, it seems like something that's really good. But my question to you is, you know, who are you trying to speak to as far as within this book? Who are you trying to reach out to?
I'm trying to reach out to that young man. Not even just a young man. It's so many young kids that are going through it right now, and they're not knowing how to speak up, whether they be in schools or universities or whether they're on the team. There are a lot of people that do go through it. RAIN, one of the biggest organizations on sexual abuse information on the website, they reported that over 60% of child abuse or molestation is unreported. So if you take a look at our society as it is, if there's 60% of us that are enduring something or who have endured something and don't speak about it, you got a lot of misguided viewpoints of sex and viewpoints of love and viewpoints of unresolved anger and resentment hurting others just to protect ourselves. So we actually become predators, creating predators.
Wow, that's scary. That really is. And it seems like you've really just dug deep, you know, and with this whole book, Jamal, Signs of a Predator, you know, it'll be great if it can really just grip our youth, you know. So my only concern is, you know, how is it going to connect with the youth and the people that you're really trying to, you know, put this information out for? Because, you know, a lot of times, particular, you know, youth aren't really, you know, going to, like, books like these in the library and stuff like that. So how are you looking to connect with these young people?
Well, I would love to be able to connect with the young people by, one, I explain things through my viewpoint and my form of understanding with different examples of stories from my lives or even from those around me, those who helped influence me the most. It's really a help to families as well, because I could say in my family there was a disconnect emotionally after I endured certain things, and it took a while for me to learn how to rebuild a relationship properly and actually understand where the problems came from, and a lot of talking. And that's one of the biggest things I want every kid to learn right now, is the ability to talk, whether it's to someone else or whether you say it in the mirror. I want young people to, it's imperative that you speak up and say,
right,
this is going on.
Right.
Because
let's talk. Mm-hmm.
It's just a burden to carry on and hold on to.
Well, let's talk about, and I definitely agree, let's talk about the disconnect. You said that, I guess, when it comes out, there's a disconnect, you know, maybe with the child and the parents. Can you elaborate that on that a little bit as to, like, your experience?
Because
that's imperative. That's, you know, and I hear, when I hear about stories such as these, you know, a child being molested, you know, and it's always that disconnect. You hit the nail on the head. So I just wanted to be able to, you know, elaborate in your words what you meant by that.
My past caused me a lot of choices that had to be made that didn't. Wow. Okay. I learned to separate my family from everything that I endured. I had to keep them away from me because it was the only way I knew how to protect and provide.
Who are you protecting? Who are you trying to protect?
I was trying to protect my family. I was trying to protect the family I grew up with, people that I had shared memories and smiles and laughter and fights and arguments. I couldn't tell anyone what was going on with me, because if I did, it chose to wreck somebody's life, and I didn't want to deal with that. So I pushed my family away, even when they tried to be there the most. And even when they tried to talk to me, it was difficult because I didn't know how to receive them in my heart anymore, because at that point I had lost all that I had cared about, all that meant anything to me. So for anyone to try to come back into my life, no matter who it was prior to, whether it be by blood or friendship, I had a hard time connecting with them because I couldn't afford to lose anything else, because my viewpoints of love were a game. It was a fallacy.
Well, I appreciate you that you've been, you know, candid as you are with that. I really do. When you were talking, I was thinking back, because I actually had just watched a couple, you know, videos from late 2010 and 2011 that you had did with some, you know, news stations in Atlanta. And when you were talking just now in regards to the disconnect, that reminded me of something you and another gentleman were saying in regards to how predators, you know, how they kind of groom you almost. I think, and this is not word for word, but just trying to remember what you guys said in the interview, you were like predators try to, I guess, befriend you. You know, they want to know, they get to know your secrets, and once they get to know your secrets, you know, they're able to share those with you, and they got your attention. And once they get your secrets, they kind of rule you, and they can alienate you from your family, and then in turn groom you to whatever it is that they want to be. And when you just said that disconnect, that automatically triggers that memory, you know, for that particular, you know, interview. And that was so, when you were saying that, I'm like, oh, my God, that is just, I mean, the way you spoke in that, you know, I don't want to necessarily so eloquently, but because you were basically describing what happened to you, but, you know, anybody who was watching that, they understood you. And it was at that moment that they, you know, quite possibly believe you if they didn't believe you before, you know, because no, I don't think anybody, not even a, you know, Academy Award winner could do it, you know, just be so truthful like that. They study individuals to be able to get that kind of truthfulness to come across. So I was just blown away when I was watching that, because, you know, as not just being in the culture that me and you are in, which is we're Americans, we're African Americans, a lot of different cultures go through these types of things in their families and stuff, but it was definitely relatable, and so that just triggered that. So sorry if I just went on a tangent with that, but
no, it's fine, because I didn't realize how much of an epidemic it was in any community.
Right.
I had no clue, and that sounds real naive to say, but I really didn't. I didn't know that this happened, and I heard about it happening in the Catholic Church. That was always what I grew up knowing, but even as my life progressed, I didn't know sexual abuse was such at a high level in the Black community.
Right.
I didn't know so many young females carried that, like, I don't think there's one girl that I've met within the past few years who can tell me they've been through some form of sexual abuse.
Right.
And that actually identifies with the kind of men they date afterwards. The kind of men that hurt them is what they accept, because there's a hurt greater that no one else can get to. So they always hope for that feeling of tough love, in a sense. So
right.
I've heard conversations from gentlemen, and it would blow my mind when they would say, you helped me talk about something I went through for the first time. How do
right.
I go about telling this to my family? And it blew my mind, because these guys were older than me, and it
right.
really left me for a shock. And I just didn't understand, and I think it's imperative that, I can't say enough, that people speak up.
Right.
more than they just practice in the mirror.
Right, right. I want to go back to the disconnect, because you said that when it was when you were going through what you were going through, you had, it was that disconnect. You didn't want to let them in. You know, you didn't want to let them in because you didn't want to expose that part to them. You didn't want it to hurt them and then maybe embarrass you. So, you know, in your book, do you talk about just getting past that, you know,
yeah.
And just, mm-hmm.
I do address it. Getting past it is a major part. I've heard so many people give bad advice by just saying let it go. It's not that easy, not with that specific situation, if people actually take a look at it from a deeper perspective. I think it's a little bit harder. So I go through everyday stories and let you know how I made it through. And again, I can't, it's really in people finding their voice. It's like a good gospel song. You can tell people who've really been through something by the praise they give. You hear it in their voice. They found their voice in their worship to God. So when people find their voice and let that thing go that hurts them, it leads to a stage of healing.
Right. I definitely agree. I want to talk about... you know, how is this going to be relatable to young children that may be going through what you endured?
I talk about different situations that happened to me, different feelings that I went through. The scariest thing is going through something and you're so afraid you don't know what to say. Like it doesn't become real to you. I really try to get into the feelings of what stages people go through that they endure things. So that's how I try to make it relatable, is because I try to show the stages that I went through, the isolation, the depression, the alcohol abuse, the sexual abuse, the different things that occur and you don't know how to let go of. So those are my ways of making it relatable. Teach the
world. Right. Right. All right. So in regards to your book, you know, so what's going on with that, the process? Are you almost done with it? Is
yeah.
it?
Almost done with it. Still got a couple of kinks to work out, but I'm almost done with it. Anybody can contact me at mystoleninnocence.com and .org. One of the pages needs to be actually updated. We had a little technical snafu that'll be fixed by Monday, but anybody ever needed to get in contact with me, mystoleninnocence.org, contact us, and you'll find out how to get at me through there.
That's what's up. All right. Well, hold tight. I definitely have more questions for you, and then we'll be opening up to some of our listeners. Make sure y'all call in 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543. This is Carla B. with the E-Buzz, with guest tonight, Jamal Paris. Hold tight, y'all. We'll be right back.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites, such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
This is your girl, Carla B., holding down the E-Buzz Friday night show on EOTMradio.com. Really quick, before we get back into our interview with Jamal Paris, I want to make a really quick announcement. Definitely, y'all, if you are going to be near your computers, your internet, and all that good stuff, or even an iPod or your cell phone, your smartphone, if you're near it on a Sunday night, this Sunday at 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, please visit EOTMTV.com for the premiere of Singer Ron Anthony's late night new talk show, premiering 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the new media network site, EOTMTV.com. Check it out. Support all things EOTM, please. Support all things Ron Anthony. He's actually bringing some really great inspirational talk shows to late night TV, and that's a big thing. And then also, it's actually going to be syndicated as well. So we're definitely excited about this new great thing with our network. So make sure you continue to support us. We really appreciate it. We definitely do. But yeah, definitely want to get back into the interview with Jamal Harris. And for some reason, I just want to say Jamal Harris, and I just have to keep looking at the screen and it says Paris. So, Jamal, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, and my rants and stuff don't pay any attention to me. I'm just crazy like that. But I want to get back into your book, and which is called Signs of a Predator. And we were talking a little bit before the break in regards to how it is going to be relatable to young children. You shared with us, how you were going to go about doing that. I wanted to say that because it definitely sounds like it would be really great. But how will it, how will it reach the youth? Because I'm just seeing a whole big thing here in my mind in regards to the whole thing. I'm thinking schools. I'm thinking touring. I'm thinking education. And something like this, just to be able to connect with the schools would be a great, great thing. And I definitely see EOTM getting behind it in some capacity to be able to help that if you did it that way. Because the schools is where it needs to start. Of course, we think as parents, and you're a parent now, Jamal, that it should start in the home, but we know that it doesn't always start in the home. So, some children just don't have that. And so the schools are very important as well. So, have you thought about, touring from school to school? Or have you thought about ways on getting the parents involved?
Well, actually, if anybody ever wanted me to come speak or address kids, they can always contact me at my email address on the website.
Okay.
And as far as getting the parents involved, that's why when the blog finishes being updated by Monday, it's a conversation where it's not like Facebook where you have to worry about who's going to see your picture or what are they going to say if they find out, but it's a place where parents can talk to other parents who are dealing with it or who have dealt with it, where we can talk, because the only way that I think it's going to get healed is if we make this a common problem. And we need to devalue this and make it as disgusting and as sickening as possible. And also, when I say common, we need to make it to a point where we feel comfortable sharing it to the point it no longer has control over us, where we can actually look at ourselves in the mirror again and not see the person or that nightmare or that monster that hurt us prior to.
So what can you share, Jamal, with our listeners that may be experiencing the type of abuse that you endured? What would you be willing to share with them right now if they were listening to this?
I'd say isolation is understood, but if it is of no gain to you to keep quiet, why do you treasure a pain and act out to the world and you numb yourself from all that can hurt you and you refuse to let anyone get close because you can't get over something that hurt you? You can't share with anyone that memory, that thing that scares you. You isolate and is now treasuring what haunts you most. I say haunts you because it torments you on a daily basis and it now governs your life. You isolating is not only damaging to you, but it's damaging to others because of the way that you're perceived and the way that you interact with them now on a daily basis. I think it's imperative that you learn to build those relationships all over again. And for those who are friends or family members with someone, I encourage you to learn how to build a language with them all over again, because their viewpoints of love and their perception of reality and what's real and what did happen and what didn't happen and their acceptance of it, it alters the way that they take in and retain the things that you say to them. So I think it's important that you learn to build those relationships back over again and learn to find who you are and love who you are once again. And it all starts with finding your voice.
Right.
Your voice is your identity. Begin to speak up and speak freely and build that confidence in yourself.
Right.
Those things that the predator tries to take away, your ability to speak. I was watching National Geographic a couple weeks ago, and the way a lion hunts. A lion kills because it has to hunt to survive. It grows a skill in how they hunt. They raise the cubs and teach them how to do it appropriately. And what they do is they target one of the weaker calves in the back that no one's really paying attention to. And then the first thing they do is they attack the throat because they need to take away your ability to cry out. They latch on. And then once they start coming after you, attack after attack after attack, they dominate you. And they commit that act of violence. And then what they do is they take something from you to let you know that they've always had you. There's a possession being done. That's just right. A little piece of what's going to be
right.
In the book. So
Okay. And that's so, you know, definitely so, you know, that whole, you know, analogy, that's definitely relatable. I want to ask you this. What was it, Jamal, about you that you think attracted this kind of behavior, or not necessarily behavior, but this kind of attack at you? What was it? Was it something about you, do you think, that he saw something in you that, you know, just like, you know, the example in regards to, you know, the lion and, you know, as far as his prey, what was it about you? Was it something similar to that?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay. All right. Let's follow on. All right. So in a 2011 interview, you said that you were lured into a sexually abusive relationship. Can you elaborate on that, Amy?
Yeah, I'm not really going to get into.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because I'm just trying to, you know, connect. I know that you can't really say a lot of things in regards to the case, but just to be able to connect some things in regards to, you know, from the book. Can you share, not necessarily your experience, but, you know, how did it all begin, or just give examples of, you know, how things can possibly begin with a young, you know, a young youth who's in a church atmosphere, or it could be in any atmosphere, but, you know, how could something like this really begin? You know, and if anything, you know, listeners that are parents, you know, maybe they're seeing signs and things of that sort, and be able to, you know, they can kind of isolate some things and look at some things and determine some things for themselves in regards to possibly what's going on in their family. Can you elaborate on something like that?
Okay, well, in regards to some signs that people could be aware of, pay attention to the isolated time. Whether it be family members or a friend of the family, pay attention to that. Those are definitely signs of something. When you see a person trying to instill themselves as a parent role when they're not, that's a red flag. A predator enjoys the hunt. So I can't say I'm not going to say their physical attributes, or there's nothing that they would control about someone else's thoughts or feelings. But, I will say that a hunter or a predator looks for the right victim, the one that provides the right chase for them. They enjoy the feelings that they can instill. It almost becomes a godlike power. I say godlike power because we are formed in our Father's image. That's, you know, part of Scripture, I believe. And a predator has the ability to take something from you and also has the ability to give life to a new person within you, to the point that most times people who go through sexual abuse, they'll say they look in the mirror and they don't see the same person. It's somebody totally different and new. And for a predator, in that kind of aspect, whether it be a father figure, a coach, or religious, whatever the case may be, that feeling of entitlement and life that I've given you is actually a replication of godlike attributes that we instill and believe in.
Okay. In an interview, and just over the past couple of days, Jamal, I've just been so dove in, like head first or feet first or whatever you want to call it, in regards to this whole thing with you, just reading your book. Because, of course, you know, our PR firm definitely wants to get behind this project. I've victim of child abuse, and some of I have a daughter that was a victim of child abuse as well. So I'm an advocate when it comes to it, and anything, you know, as far as really great information to be able to share with our children. And I'm definitely with you, Jamal, when you said how they may look for, you know, the child that they feel maybe nobody's paying attention to. Because believe me, you, I'm a parent, and I've always been a parent first. And I've always been very protective over my children. But it's just listening to some of the things that you're saying, it's just, you know, definitely, I'm like, okay, you know, that was a sign, that was a sign, that was a sign. You know, and so I definitely am behind you, Jamal, 100% in regards to this particular book, because I think that it can definitely help. It can help families. And as far as you just getting on that stage platform and being able to educate and just to, you know, get the youth more, you know, not really having them isolated, just letting them know and empowering them and letting them know that we do care. We do care. This is bad. Speak up. You have a voice. You have a voice. You know, that's really important. So I think that you're doing a great thing with this. I really do. If there's any, individuals that are listening to this show tonight, there's a lot of really great organizations out there local to you, I'm sure. One in particular, Speak Up, Keep a Child Safe. You can visit stopitnow.org. I actually connected with them after your conversation, Jamal, last week. A really great organization, similar to what you're doing. Definitely I want to encourage our listeners tonight to go to your website. What is it, mystoleninnocence.org? Is that it, Jamal?
Yeah, mystoleninnocence.org.
Okay, all right. And, you know, definitely there's a lot of really great organizations out there and kids. If something's happened to you, and I'm not an expert or anything like that, but I'm a victim of it, and I have a child that was a victim of it, and I'm so with you when it comes to, you know, how predators attack. It was something that you shared in one of your interviews, Jamal. You said, I want to say it was like you were kind of surprised when Bishop Eddie Long, you know, initially, I guess maybe, I think you said he gave you his number and was like, call me. And I think in an interview it said, you're like, okay, I'm 14 years old. What do we have to talk about? And I think something like that is what you said in that interview. It's definitely a red flag for youth, you know. And I can see it happening though in the church. I can see it happening as far as in sports, because you know young individuals, they come in contact with these men of power, women of power, in sports and things like that. I'm not saying all athletes or coaches and stuff are predators, but you know, all the different stories that we're hearing, it's in those kinds of atmospheres and stuff like that. So I mean, so what do you say to those families and those children in those kinds of circles?
Pay attention to the flags. I always say, what I was always taught was you can't pay attention to every situation. It becomes draining. One of the greatest cheats in gaining power is understanding the feelings involved in a situation. I was around an individual growing up where they could be in a room with 20 other people, and one person handles music, one person handles finance, one person handles English, one person handles, you know, schoolwork, whatever the case may be, and texting at the same time. And he can tell you everyone's conversation, not because he was eavesdropping on them, but because he understood the purpose that they served, he already knew where to get within a situation. So he always taught me how to do that. I only say that because I think it's imperative that people, when you pay attention to who your child is around, you'll start to understand what are they looking for. If a person doesn't know what they want from you, they're willing and liable to take you anywhere in their life they're going. There's a possibility of derailment. So I think it's absolutely imperative you know the relationships that your children are involved in. Those are signs as well, not just for sexual abuse, but for emotional exploitation. That's a big emotional exploitation is probably one of the biggest factors in sexual abuse that I can contribute or say that I've gone through a part of. It's the misleading of how people deal with their emotions and feelings and understanding of what emotions are taking place. So I think it's imperative that people definitely get the reasoning, and it might actually help the victim talk. If they haven't had an ability to communicate before, if you try understanding what they went through, you might get a better viewpoint of how to talk to them and how they receive things.
Right. Great advice. So, Jamal, you have a son now. So, you know, what kind of things as a parent, just from what you've experienced, are you going to try to instill in your child?
Well, one, I'm going to need him to be a football fanatic, as that is.
Okay.
Definitely be the first thing I try to instill in them.
Okay.
Definitely appreciate his mother, because his mother's been doing a great job with him.
Beautiful.
And she's been a great support for him from the very beginning. That'll be number one. Two, love the God you serve, whoever it may be for you, whatever it may be. I was going to say love the God you serve, and listen to his voice. And it's healing on the sick day. That's because that's all I can contribute to anything. That's all I've went through, was God delivering me through situation after situation.
Right.
Next would be to appreciate your voice. And that's always going to give him the ability and the platform to feel comfortable with talking, whether someone does try, God forbid, their life. But I'm... if something ever was to try to happen, I know my child wouldn't be afraid to talk to me.
Right.
So those are the first three things I'd instill in him.
Okay. And that was going to be, you know, one of the questions that I had just from, you know, what you've experienced inside of a church, a Baptist church, not, you know, just, you know, as far as, you know, growing up in African-American communities, and we hear, when we see and hear child molestation in Catholic churches. It wasn't a Catholic church. It was a Baptist church. I want to know what, you know, how has all this affected your faith? And just hearing what you said just now, though, I see that it didn't hurt it. In any way, but you can definitely elaborate.
I recently started going back to church. Surprisingly, I would have never thought I would have gone back, especially not so soon.
Right.
Just because I had my own nightmares and my own fears and my own skepticism at certain points. But nonetheless, it never changed my perception of God. God was still God in my life. Even when I was angry at him, he was still the God I woke up to, and he was still the one that was covering me while I was sleeping. So no matter what situations I went through in my life, I never let anything defer my relationship with God. I just learned to stop idolizing, you know, religious figures. It's been a crazy past couple of years for a lot of religious
right.
figures and different scandals and different situations, to the point that it more sounds like a TMZ tabloid story coming out. So
yeah.
I just learned to, it was more important to build a relationship with God now.
Yeah, beautiful. I definitely, you know, wish you all the best, Jamal, you and your family, just throughout all this. I want to ask you a question, one of the last questions as we're gearing up to end in this interview. Is there a lot out there that people don't know about this story that you think may come out eventually?
There's a lot of lessons to be learned, I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in every situation. And I was just able to understand mine the way they would talk to me, the way I experienced them. And
right.
I learned to speak with such a craft at a young age that I just learned how to become vocal about different things and understanding the feelings that were involved in situations. I'm just a recreation of what was taught to me.
Right. So, you know, just when you were going through all this that you've gone through and you're still going through it, what kind of, you know, who was there for you? You know, who were you able to just lean up against and just rant and rave and cry to? Who helped you the most throughout all of this? I know because you said you know, initially you kind of isolated yourself. So when it all came out, who did you have, you know, to help you through this?
It was my family at different points. I could think of one in particular. There was when I was in Colorado, there was a specific individual I was involved with, and her family actually showed me what it was to be a family. I had lost that idea. I actually thought they were from the Brady Bunch.
Wow.
I had really didn't know people actually were still married faithfully. And
wow.
I really didn't believe it. I really thought it was weird. My mom, she's been a big help. She does her best in trying, and she cares about me so much, and she loves me, so she was always to help. And my brother, even when he was angry at me, he was always someone I had in my corner. And I had a couple of good female friends stand me up at a couple of times and, you know, be there to listen to me. So I have
two people. Well, that's good. It's always good to be able to have somebody to go to, especially just going through this whole thing. And when these predators, they do what they do best and try to isolate you from the ones that you love. So just happy to hear that you have somebody in your corner. Again, I'm Jamal Paris. I want to, you know, thank you again for giving us a portion of your Friday evening to share about your new book and a little bit about what, you know, what you've experienced. So definitely I want to know as soon as Signs of Prayer is out, you know, let us know right away. And, you know, we'll set up some kind of book signing in California as well as Georgia because, you know, we want to be able to get behind you in any way because it's a really great thing. I see it really just taking off and school tours, things like that, church tours, you never know. But let us know, Jamal, anything that we could do, EOTM Media Group, in regards to help your efforts with this, a great, great cause. Want to extend our hand out to you, and I want to also thank EOTM Atlanta Ron Anthony for helping to put this interview together. If you could, at this time, Jamal, go ahead and say some last words and shout-outs and share again how our listeners can be able to get in contact with you or in contact with some of the organizations that you're involved with.
To the families who are helping to heal a person who's gone through sexual abuse, my word for you for the night, for the month, will be patience. Patience, patience. I know it takes its toll on you, you know, with the different assortment of feelings that you go through, anger, resentment, feeling guilty, blame, self-blame. You know, I know those are different feelings that take place. However, it takes patience, even when it seems like you're trying to be there and they're pushing you away. It takes patience. They're going through something and they really have a hard time in trusting, and they need someone to be there to hold them up and show them that it's okay to be safe again. So I'd say patience for you. To the predator, I'd actually like to apologize to whoever actually is still out there hurting different individuals. I'd like to apologize to the person that hurt you. And I know something is still hurting you inside and you haven't let go, and you're taking your pain down something that's innocent because you think it's going to make you feel better, better to hunt. Like to step in somebody and say, I'm sorry. And to the victims, it gets better. And it really does get better. Right. Anybody needs to contact me, mystoneinnocence.org, you can email me, and I'll get in contact with you.
Okay, thanks so much for that, Jamal. I want to really quickly, we got a few minutes, go to the phone lines. I think we have Ron Anthony of EOTM Atlanta.
Yes.
You're live on the East Side Show with Carly B. What's up?
What's going on, Ron?
Hey, man, I'd just like to say to you, Jamal, I appreciate you talking to me and helping me in certain situations and actually what I'm going through and, you know, just being there. And because I just like I told you before, I had asked God when all of this stuff went down, I was like, oh, I wish I could meet him, right? And it all happened. And just talking to someone that can understand, even though it's different situations, but we went through the same thing, you know, with the judicial system. And I just want to let everybody know that Jamal is a genuine person, and he really ministered to me as far as, you know, what I was going through, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks so much, again, Ron, for helping setting this up. We appreciate it. Our time is definitely gone completely, but Jamal, definitely, as I said, extend multiple invitations out, you know, in regards to the EOTM radio as well as TV network. Keep us posted on everything that you're doing, and we'll be happy to help in any way. Again, everyone, thanks so much for chiming in. Ron, thanks for chiming in as well. Jamal, we'll be talking to you soon, y'all. Peace and blessings. It's Friday night, y'all. We're going to end it with an appropriate song. Listen again, make sure y'all check out the Ron Anthony talk show Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on EOTMTV.com. That's my time, y'all. Good night.
To the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find release. Oh, I'm screaming out, and my dreams will be heard. They will not be pushed aside or turned. Your own.
Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.